Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
We spend $500 on our infants and toddlers on average. If you go to the other countries, you're talking about $11,000 on average in Europe and the other developed countries. It makes a difference. They end up spending less on their K-12 system. They end up spending less on their colleges. They end up spending less on jail.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Democratic candidates are held to a higher moral standard. I don't see Representative McCarthy calling for George Santos to shamefully leave the halls of Congress. It is never principle above party. It is never principle and policy above person and personal achievement for Republicans.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Monday through Friday at 6 p.m.
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripescast is just the butter on my cheese.
Cockroaches, not that bad. They call them palmetto bugs in South Carolina. Same thing, you can call them up here.
Are they really palmetto bugs? Yes.
Yeah, and they're a great source of protein. They're Did going you know to be that? The lobsters of the future.
They also got salmonella, and they can lay like 40 eggs at once.
Well, they gotta work out a few kinks there, okay? They gotta work out a few kinks.
Cripescast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
U.S. Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different.
You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Minutes after 9 o'clock on this Tuesday morning, and Stu Daniels here live on the radio. Thank you if you are listening right now. Thank you for your patience. The first hour, we had to run a repeat of the first hour of yesterday's show, and so thank you for waiting through that, and I hope that we've got our technical difficulties fixed now. We were able to use some string and some chewing gum and put things back together, at least temporarily. Aaron, can you hear me okay?
Yes, we're all good.
Man, this is great. This is working better than I thought it was going to. Hopefully it'll work for the remainder of the hour. Hey, welcome in, everybody. It's the Stu Daniels Show live on a Tuesday morning. It is 7:11. That's right. Today is July 11th. And outside today should be another nice summer day. If you're in the Hayward area, I'm talking sunshine, highs in the mid-70s. In Eau Claire, sunshine, highs in the upper 70s. In La Crosse, sunshine with highs around 80. And in Richland Center, mostly sunny with highs in the mid-80s. Right now, Richland Center has 61, La Crosse 63. It's 60 degrees in Eau Claire. Says Hayward only has 49 degrees right now. I'll double check that and make sure that's still the case. I bet it's gone up since I checked a few minutes ago. And in sports, tonight is the MLB All-Star game. Yep. Representing the Milwaukee Brewers, pitchers Corbin Burnes and Devin Williams. The Brewers will resume regular season play on Friday in Cincinnati. That big Cincinnati series coming up, this time in Cincinnati. And in the headlines today, the DNR says a massive wildfire in central Wisconsin is now mostly contained after more than 400 acres were burned. Also, a federal judge has blocked a Wisconsin school district from restricting bathrooms for transgender students. The northern lights should be visible across much of Wisconsin starting tomorrow night for a few nights. And the 120th anniversary celebration of Harley-Davidson is this weekend in Milwaukee, featuring performances by Green Day and the Foo Fighters. And I think the Foo Fighters have only done one show in recent months. And this will be, what, the second one. So that should be something worth checking out. Also, big information coming out today on Farm Aid. Farm Aid 2023 coming up in September. This year going to be held in Indiana at the place that used to be called Deer Creek. Now it's at the Ruoff Music Center. The usuals will be there. The regulars, Willie Nelson, Neil Young, John Cougar Mellencamp. Do people still say Cougar? John Mellencamp, Dave Matthews, and Tim Reynolds. Margot Price, and this year, the special guests include Bobby Weir and the Wolf Brothers with the Wolf Pack, also Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats, and the String Cheese Incident. Could be a fun time. That venue, Deer Creek Ruoff Music Center, pretty easy to get in and out of. I'll bet you there'll be quite a few people from Wisconsin heading down to that show. So what's the latest with the big trial for the former president concerning the classified documents that he took down the Mar-a-Lago and wanted to keep down there? Well, news came out late last night or early this morning that says Trump wants the classified documents trial delayed until after the election. Are you surprised? I would say no, that's exactly what I would expect. And the subheadline in the story from Politico says, in a late night court filing, Trump's defense team said he can't receive a fair trial before the election. Donald Trump on Monday called for a lengthy delay before he goes to trial for allegedly hoarding military secrets at his Mar-a-Lago estate, contending that proceeding while he remains a candidate for president would make it virtually impossible to seat an impartial jury. Quote, proceeding to trial during the pendency of a presidential election cycle wherein opposing candidates are effectively, if not literally, directly adverse to one another in this action will create extraordinary challenges in the jury selection process and limit the defendant's ability to secure a fair and impartial adjudication, end quote. Attorneys for Trump and his personal aide and co-defendant Walt Nauta said in a court filing Monday night. Trump's eagerness to push off a trial sets up the first significant test in the unprecedented ultra-high-profile case for U.S. District Court Judge Aileen Cannon, who is already weighing Special Counsel Jack Smith's push for a December 2023 trial. One of his team says is strongly in the public interest to begin as soon as possible. The defense filing says bluntly that this December is too soon to start a trial and urges Judge Cannon not to set a trial date now, but makes clear that Trump's lawyers oppose any trial that would start during the presidential election season, which will get underway in earnest late this year, assuming Trump wins the Republican nomination. The defense position appears to urge nearly a year of delay beyond what prosecutors are proposing. The tactic is in keeping with Trump's typical legal strategy to drag out matters he's facing as long as possible while hoping the legal landscape changes. But this time, it's an effort to stave off a criminal trial that could result in a lengthy prison sentence if he is convicted, the first ever prosecution of a former president. In addition, if Trump wins the election, he would likely end up with legal and constitutional tools to disrupt the prosecution's efforts. For example, he has previously proclaimed the power to self-pardon, an untested exercise of presidential power. He would also get to appoint leaders of the Justice Department who could simply opt to pull the plug on any lingering criminal matters. In the late night submission, defense attorneys did not address those scenarios, but pointed out a series of potential conflicts and other proceedings that they say will make it nearly impossible to prepare for a trial for Trump and Nauta in the coming months. One complication the defense lawyers cite is a civil trial set for October in New York involving an effort by New York Attorney General Letitia James to put major restrictions on Trump and his business over alleged pervasive fraud. Another is a criminal trial set for Trump in March of 2024 on state charges related to payments to porn star Stormy Daniels just before the 2016 presidential election. And Nauta's attorney, Stanley Woodward, has four criminal trials scheduled prior to December including one he's trying this week, two of which involve defendants charged with violence against police officers on January 6, 2021, and another for former Trump aide Peter Navarro, who is charged with defying a congressional subpoena. Defense attorneys say Smith's urgency to take the federal criminal case to trial quickly is unwarranted. Quote, there is no ongoing threat to national security interests, nor any concern regarding continued criminal activity, the defense team says, possibly alluding to prosecutors' statements backing lax release conditions for Trump and Nauta. And it says, while prosecutors have characterized the case against Trump as relatively straightforward, despite the inherent complexities of bringing a former president to trial, Trump and Nauta's attorneys say the trial will be extraordinarily complicated, requiring Judge Cannon, to make unprecedented rulings on the handling of presidential records, the validity of Smith's probe, and other matters. And the story goes on and says, there's a quote here. This is the quote from the defense attorneys, I believe. Therefore, a measured consideration and timeline that allows for a careful and complete review of the procedures that led to this indictment and the unprecedented legal issues presented herein best serves the interests of the defendants and the public, they write. It says a federal grand jury in Miami indicted Trump last month on 37 felony charges, including 31 counts of willful retention of national defense information. Trump pleaded not guilty at a high security hearing in Miami a few days later. Nauta struggled to find a local attorney, but finally entered a not guilty plea last week. Those hearings took place in front of federal magistrate judges. Neither defendant has appeared yet before Cannon, whom Trump appointed to the bench in 2020. The defense submission urging the judge not to set a trial date came after jockeying earlier in the day between Smith's team and lawyers for Nauta over the timing for the first substantive hearing in the case. Judge Cannon set a hearing for Friday to discuss issues related to the handling of classified information as part of a future trial, but Woodward sought a delay of that hearing due to his trial this week in Washington. Woodward is the attorney for Trump's co-conspirator, Nauta. In a filing around midday on Monday, prosecutors from Smith's team vigorously objected to any delay. However, by evening, that dispute looked to be on its way to being resolved, with all sides offering to show up at Cannon's Fort Pierce, Florida courtroom next Tuesday instead. However, the changes require the judge's sign-off, which had yet to happen by Monday night. So what's going to happen? Are they going to delay the trial until after the presidential election? Man, I hope not. It'll be fun to watch. Stick around. You're tuned into the Stu Daniels Show. About a working all summer just to try to earn a dollar.
Every time I call my baby, try to get a date, my boss says, no die, son, you gotta work late. Sometimes I wonder what I'm gonna do, but there ain't no cure for the summertime blues.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Democratic candidates are held to a higher moral standard. I don't see Representative McCarthy calling for George Santos to shamefully leave the halls of Congress. It is never principle above party. It is never principle and policy above person and personal achievement for Republicans.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out. Because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
We have some pretty nice weather coming in here for the next couple of days. Today will be partly cloudy, high of 74 this afternoon. The wind northwest at around 10 to 15. Clear tonight, down to 52. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 80. Next chance of scattered thunderstorms. Looks to be sometime later Wednesday night into Thursday morning. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 64.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Somewhere 23 minutes after 9 o'clock on a Monday morning. Hope you're having a good day. Stu Daniels with you inside your radio, and today we are discussing several different scientific topics. Hey, Aaron, my producer, were you a big science student when you were in school? Were you a fan of the science class and get good grades in science? How did you do?
Yeah, definitely. The one that was the most difficult was chemistry, just because doing the actual experiments, like I remember this one, the sludge test, where you just got a bunch of junk and had to try and figure out what substances were all in there. That was really hard.
Mm.
But overall, I liked it a lot.
Yeah, science is a great thing, man. And I know that not everybody digs science class in school, but when you have an understanding of science and how science works, you have a better understanding of the world around you. And today we've been discussing different aspects of science, mainly water so far, drinking water. We discussed the fact that PFA is now being found in about 45% of water throughout the United States and about 40% of drinking water sources here in Wisconsin. And we also discussed the beaches and how beaches are often closed these days because of runoff that has fecal bacteria in it, which closes the beaches. And we also discussed the mayfly issue. The mayflies coming off the Mississippi River or near the Mississippi River may not be as thick these days as they used to be. And that may seem like a good thing. But when you talk about the food chain and the wildlife that rely on those mayflies, then there may be an issue that we need to know more about. So just before the break, we were talking about how, or at least during a previous segment, we were talking about how you could get involved if you want to be a citizen scientist and help count the mayfly population. But something else that's in the news, or especially science-related that's in the news that we need to discuss and that you should understand whether you're into science or not, is what's going on with our weather and the climate and this incredible heat wave that's just baking big portions of the United States. And obviously, when places like Wisconsin have temperatures in the 90s day after day, then there are other places down south where people are just baking in the heat. I have a story here from the New York Times, and it says the Southwest bakes with more heat on the way. Phoenix could be on track to break its record of 18 consecutive days with temperatures above 110 degrees as a heat dome has settled over the desert Southwest. Imagine being someone who works outside down in the Phoenix area day after day. You know, here in Wisconsin, if we get a day or two above 90, you know, it's warm, it's hot, but you know that in just a few days, it'll probably be, you know, back in the low 80s or something for a high. But in the Phoenix area, they've been above 110 degrees for 18 consecutive days with no relief in sight. And this story says, as the heat engulfed Tucson, Arizona on Sunday afternoon, yesterday, six people, part of a new mutual aid group they call Gatorade, were dropping 7-pound bags of ready ice on the hot sidewalks and loading coolers with hundreds of bottles of water and Gatorade. Every Sunday for the past month, the group has been bringing beverages to downtown Tucson and distributing them to those in need, they said, quote, "You can see how badly people need it," one of the volunteers, Hershey Long, 35 years old, said. "It's great to see that people can have a bit of relief." Within 40 minutes, there were only four bottles of water left. A few hours later, volunteers returned with restocked supplies. They found the Tucson Fire Department treating a man with a heat-related illness. Paramedics draped wet towels over him and loaded him into an ambulance. So serious heat-related issues going on in the southwestern portion of the United States right now. We'll get to more of this story about the extreme heat right after we take a quick break. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
CBS News Brief. Ukraine says, gee, thanks, Moscow, for suspending that deal that saw Ukrainian grain reaching a hungry world through Russian waters.
Prices for grain all across the globe will go up. People in the most vulnerable regions of Asia, Africa, they will feel it. Stop playing hunger games with the people around the world.
Ukraine's Foreign Minister Dmytro Kuleba on CBS Mornings. This is Moscow blames Ukraine for the latest attack on a strategic bridge linking occupied Crimea to the Russian mainland. That coast-to-coast heat wave hunkers down.
It is really a hard time of year to live in Arizona.
And in lots of other places, triple-digit heat expected to worsen in coming days. Flash floods near Philadelphia left 5 dead this past weekend and 2 children unaccounted for.
A family from Charleston was on their way to a barbecue when they were caught in a flash flooding in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. Emergency leaders say the mother was killed while both toddlers are still missing.
KYWTV's Wakeisha Bailey, CBS News Brief. I'm Vicki Barker.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For 105.7 CFW and 93.5 The Tap, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. One person is dead after law enforcement tried to arrest them on Friday afternoon in Barron. The Wisconsin Department of Justice said the person was driving a vehicle trying to avoid being arrested when they crashed into another vehicle. When officers got to the vehicle, the person was dead in the vehicle with a gunshot wound. A gun was found inside of the vehicle. No one from the Barron County Sheriff's Office or Barron Police Department fired their weapons or was hurt. The Department of Justice is investigating. Officials are still counting the totals, but organizers of the Northern Wisconsin State Fair say this year had record attendance. That's thanks in part to sellout shows for Nelly and Styx over the weekend, which brought in the highest single-day totals in the fair's history. The previous record was about 114,000. And the Wisconsin DNR is looking for help in finding stolen trout. The DNR said in a tweet that someone took rare brood brown trout from the St. Croix Falls State Fish Hatchery on June 19th. Anyone with information should call 1-800-TIP-WDNR. From the Civic Media News Desk in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
93.5 The Tap.
Daniel Show, 9:34 right now on this Monday morning. At 74 degrees in Eau Claire right now. It's 72 degrees up in Hayward. And today on the Stu Daniel Show, we've been discussing quite a few scientific topics, water mainly. But also, just before the break, we were discussing the heat wave what's going on in several states, especially in the southwestern portion of the United States. Arizona has it really bad off. They've been above 110 degrees for 18 days straight, 18 consecutive days above 110. And there's no end in sight to this. And it makes me wonder why some people aren't willing to believe in science and in scientific data, and why they think that the entire climate change issue is some kind of a hoax. Is it a tribal thing? Is it because if you vote for Donald Trump, you can't believe in science? Is that what's going on? I don't know, but there's something funny going on because so many people are in denial these days about what's happening right in front of our eyes. You know, climate change isn't something that's coming in the future. It's here right now. You know, this is going on and people are suffering and dying every day because the climate is out of control. And I know there's somebody yelling at the radio right now saying, oh, it's all a hoax. Can't believe that stuff. Can't believe the scientists. You can't believe the Democrats. As people continue to drop and have to be taken to the hospital in places like Arizona. Just before the break, I was reading from this story in the New York Times. It says, where we left off here, it says, people across the South and the West have been scrambling to find relief over the past week, a task that could get even more daunting as a new blast of heat threatens to settle over the Southwest over the coming week. It's in addition to the past 18 days where it's been over 110 degrees in Phoenix. The heat wave caused by a heat dome of high pressure is now stationed over the desert Southwest. Experts estimate that more than 50 million people across the United States live in the areas expected to have dangerous levels of heat. A range of excessive heat warnings and heat advisories were in place across the region over the weekend. And on Friday, the National Weather Service said that the conditions in Arizona were, quote, rivaling some of the worst heat waves this area has ever seen, end quote. Those outside an air-conditioned comfort dome had it the worst. On Sunday, a few dozen people gathered in Santa Rita Park near downtown Tucson. Some collected bottled water from the Gatorade group that we just mentioned earlier. Others brought it with them. Joseph Whitaker, 51 years old, said he was drinking 3 jugs of water at a nearby soup kitchen every morning. Quote, I'm dying. I have stage 3 kidney disease, so I need water more than you, Mr. Whitaker said. Mateo Calderon, 59 years old, originally from San Luis Potosi, Mexico, is spending his second summer in Tucson. He pays $200 a month to park in someone's backyard. He sleeps in his car, or when it's too hot, on a row of couch cushions on the ground. He can go into the house to shower, store food, and fill up with water. Mr. Calderon explained how important it is to drink water. Quote, I used to go to cooling centers last year, but they're far, he said. Now he chases shade during the day and just tries to stay hydrated. Typically, Arizona faces its hottest temperatures in June and July. Gabriel Lojero, a meteorologist with the National Weather Service in Phoenix, said on Sunday, so the timing of this heat is not unusual, but what is a cause for concern, he said, is the longevity of the extreme heat. So far, the Weather Service has recorded 9 consecutive days of temperatures above 110 degrees in Arizona, Mr. Lojero said. And the longest stretch the state has seen of consecutive days over 110 degrees was 18 in 1974. Although if you look at the subheadline on this piece in the New York Times now, it does say Phoenix could be on track to break its record of 18 consecutive days with temperatures above 110. Okay, so now I understand it hasn't been 18 days already, but it could be 18 days by the time it's done. Okay, so that makes more sense. It says here that, here's a quote. This is from the gentleman we were just discussing, Mr. Lojero. He says, looking at the current forecast that we have, we're forecasting temperature at least 110 or above for at least the next 7 to 8 days and potentially longer, Mr. Lojero said. adding that this streak could potentially break the 18-day record. Isaac Smith, another meteorologist with the National Weather Service in Arizona, said that, quote, "We're going to be looking at these very hot temperatures continuing through the next week." The Weather Service, he added, expects highs to continue to remain above 110 degrees each day. Quote, "That's pretty significant for us, even for Phoenix standards. People certainly need to be taking precautions to protect themselves from the heat. People need to keep in mind that heat is the number one weather-related killer in the United States," end quote. A report released by the Maricopa County Department of Public Health last month found that in 2022, there were 425 heat-associated deaths in the county, up 25% from the previous year. More than half of the heat-associated deaths occurred in the month of July, according to the report, and 107 of the deaths occurred on days with an excessive heat warning. Still, throughout the region, people are finding ways to make do and assessing how much of the heat this year is extraordinary and how much just feels like summer in the South and the Southwest. At Heights Mercantile Farmers Market in Houston on Sunday, yesterday, farmers and retailers reflected on the heat so far and were bracing themselves for the rest of the summer. Xander Hernandez, 29, a private chef and sales representative for the farmers at Animal Farm in Cat Spring, Texas, said that the extreme heat was killing the farm's crops, such as lettuce, spinach, kale, and cabbage. "The lack of water has been tough," Mr. Hernandez said, adding that he had more produce last year. Drew Blomstrong, 34, who farms about 45 minutes from Houston, said that though the heat was brutal, it wasn't anything he can't deal with or handle. Still, he said, quote, "It's almost like spring didn't even happen. We've skipped planting season for some types of produce due to the intense heat," end quote. Others at the market said they hadn't noticed much of a difference in their crops. Brian Findesign, who works full-time at Irby Ranch in Cat Spring, Texas, said he hadn't noticed anything different and hadn't changed anything on his ranch to adapt to the heat. He said, quote, "Every year is different. Realistically, in my opinion, I don't see anything really crazy so far," he said, who he guided himself with a family journal, which he uses to note the cycles and droughts that occur every 10 years, followed by the rainy season. Quote, "The drought years are harder years. We just prepare because we can see what's going to happen from what we've seen in years past. It's going to provide and it's going to warn you a year before." Elsewhere in Houston, people were mostly avoiding being outside after noon or were doing their best to get by when they had to leave home. One who was out was Mark Morales, 42, an engineering technician who was walking his 19-year-old schnauzer named Moose through the Heights in Houston Sunday afternoon. Mr. Morales has moved the morning walk up from 7 a.m. to 6 a.m., and the walks have gotten shorter. Quote, "Instead of long walks, it's just constant little walks of 15 to 20 minutes with lots of stops," Mr. Morales said. "But a dog's got to do what a dog's got to do." So there they were on Sunday. The streets almost empty. The heat almost 100 degrees. Another summer day in Houston at 6 a.m. So the effects of climate change are affecting everybody these days throughout the United States, some places more than others. But obviously, if you live in the Southwest, Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, those areas, man, it's got to be difficult right now. One more science story I wanted to get to before we wrapped up the science stuff and got back to a little political stuff following the next break. I just wanted to mention this solar storm that's coming. Hey, Aaron, have you ever seen the Northern Lights?
I have not, at least not in person.
Yeah, I've only seen them a couple times. One time was in Green Bay and the other time was in Milwaukee when we had one of those solar eruptions a few years ago. And it's just amazing. Even at those southern latitudes, you can still just be amazed by the colors dancing in the sky. I'm sure there are people who live up north in Wisconsin that get to see the Northern Lights more often, but this coming week could be a big week for the Northern Lights. They're saying could be available or could be visible in 17 states, especially later in the week. This is a headline from the Associated Press. It says a solar storm on Thursday is expected to make the Northern Lights visible in 17 states. Hopefully the skies will be clear, because it sounds like no matter where you are in Wisconsin, you might have a good shot at seeing them. It says here a solar storm forecast for Thursday is expected to give sky gazers in 17 American states a chance to glimpse the Northern Lights, the colorful sky show that happens when solar wind hits the atmosphere. The Northern Lights, also known as Aurora Borealis, are most often seen in Alaska, Canada, and Scandinavia. But an 11-year solar cycle that's expected to peak in 2024 is making the lights visible in places farther to the south. 3 months ago, the light displays were visible in Arizona, marking the third severe geomagnetic storm since the current solar cycle began in 2019. The Geophysical Institute at the University of Alaska at Fairbanks has forecast auroral activity on Thursday in Alaska, Oregon, Washington, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, New York, New Hampshire, Vermont, Indiana, Maine, and Maryland, as far south as Maryland. Auroral activity has also been forecast for Canada, including Vancouver. Light displays are expected to be visible overhead in Milwaukee, Minneapolis, Helena, Montana, and low on the horizon in Salem, Oregon, Boise, Idaho, Cheyenne, Wyoming, Annapolis, Maryland, and even Indianapolis, according to the Institute. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's Space Weather Prediction Center said people wanting to experience an aurora should get away from city lights, and that the best viewing times are between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. local time. Northern lights occur when a magnetic solar wind slams into the Earth's magnetic field and causes atoms in the upper atmosphere to glow. The lights appear suddenly and the intensity varies. A geomagnetic index known as KP ranks auroral activity on a scale from 0 to 9, with 0 being not very active and 9 being bright and active. The Geophysical Institute has forecast a KP6 for Thursday's storm. Keep your eyes to the sky. You're listening to The Stu Daniels Show.
How many roads must a man walk down before you call him a man? How many seas must the white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand? Yes, and how many times must the cannonballs fly before they're forever banned? The answer, my friend.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there. See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
93.5, The Tap.
We have some pretty nice weather coming in here for the next couple of days. Today will be partly cloudy, high of 74 this afternoon. The wind northwest at around 10 to 15. Clear tonight, down to 52. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 80. Next chance of scattered thunderstorms. Looks to be sometime later Wednesday night into Thursday morning. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 64.
Civic Media Radio Stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Daniel's show, final segment here. It's 9:51 right now. And we've been discussing a lot of scientific news today because there's a lot of science in the news today, especially with the water issues going on, PFAS in our drinking water, and fecal matter runoff at our beaches, plus mayflies, maybe fewer in number, which could be a problem for the food chain around the Mississippi River. So those are some of the topics we've been discussing, in addition to the Northern Lights, which we just talked about before the break. But the one thing I wanted to get to in politics today is an announcement by Rebecca Cook that she will be running against Derek Van Orden for the third congressional district seat for Congress. And I have a story here from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and it says here, former Eau Claire small business owner Rebecca Cook said she will make another run for Wisconsin's third congressional district in 2024. And I know that many of our listeners are in that district, and that will officially, or I should say this announcement officially kicks off the race for a battleground seat that could play a key role in Democrats' efforts to flip control of the House. So this isn't just a local issue. This isn't just a Wisconsin issue. This could actually affect who controls the House of Representatives in Washington, which obviously makes a big difference, as we are seeing when you got a guy like Mike McCarthy running the show. Weird things happen, or maybe not much happens, but some stuff has happened, right? Anyway, getting back to the story, here's a quote from Ms. Cook. She says, I'm really focused on running a race that people can get behind and that I think really can clear the field. This Cook said in an interview, rural voters are interested, I think, in the perspective that I bring. I want to represent those folks and really work for them to move the needle and make a difference in the lives of everyday people. End quote. Cook's announcement makes her the first Democratic challenger to officially throw her name into a congressional race in Wisconsin. The Democrat from Eau Claire had been eyeing the race since just days after Van Orden flipped the seat red last November and continued to travel the district, speaking with voters in the months since then. It says still, a number of Democrats, some of whom ran last year against Cook, are also considering jumping into the race. Still, let's see, we're jumping. It says former CIA officer Deb McGrath, who placed third behind Cook in last year's primary, told the Journal Sentinel last week she has, quote, started to strongly consider mounting another bid. State Senator Brad Pfaff, who lost to Van Orden by 4 points in November, is weighing whether to run for re-election to his state Senate seat or run again for Congress. One factor in Pfaff's decision, a source close to him said, will be whether the state's legislative district lines are redrawn to give Democrats more representation at the state level. The state Supreme Court could hear a challenge to the state's maps as soon as this year. Missy Hughes, CEO of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation and a member of Democratic Governor Tony Evers' cabinet, is also considering a bid, according to multiple Democrats in the state. Cook said her campaign will largely build on her 2022 race. She noted she grew up on a dairy farm in the district and previously ran her own small business, a boutique she closed last year, indicating that she will focus on, quote, economic issues that are really hitting people's pocketbooks. We're still dealing with high inflation and the cost of everyday goods, and being able to afford a mortgage, pay for student loans, she said. Last year, Cook went on a 19-county tour of the district during her campaign and frequently touted her labor endorsements. She performed better than many expected in the primary, winning 11 counties and falling to Pfaff by about 8 points. She said she plans to build a broad coalition, what she calls a Cook coalition, this cycle, claiming she will run a really value-centered campaign that reaches into every section of the sprawling rural Western Wisconsin district. In an interview, Cook painted Van Orden as someone tied to his party leadership and not the people of his district. And she dismissed Van Orden's recent talk of bipartisanship, part of the former Navy SEAL's attempt to redefine himself in Washington after an at times vitriolic 2022 campaign. Quote, "At the core, Derek Van Orden is someone that is very ego-centered and really focused on himself," Cook said. "I don't think that he's hustling for any of us. I think the special interest in Washington and kind of being Kevin McCarthy's," did I call him Mike McCarthy earlier? I meant to say Kevin McCarthy. "And kind of being Kevin McCarthy's lackey is where he's positioned himself," end quote. Well, I guess actually she goes on and she says, "As we know, he's not from this district originally," Cook said. "He's an actor, an author, a congressman, just seems like another feather in his hat and not being a true public servant," end quote. Wisconsin's third congressional district is one of just two competitive House seats in the entire state of Wisconsin. The first congressional district, held by Republican U.S. Representative Brian Stiles since his election in 2018, is also competitive on paper, though Democrats in the state have recently put more attention on Van Orden's seat. National Democrats, meanwhile, have indicated they will put a focus on both competitive Wisconsin seats this cycle after drawing the ire of many in the state for largely leaving Wisconsin Democrats in the lurch last year as Republican groups rallied behind Van Orden. It looks like we're out of time for today. Goes by so fast when you got so much to discuss. Thanks for tuning in today, everybody. Hope you have a great day. I'll see you tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock. This is my
call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
What is the grand prize? Is it a fabulous cash prize?
You definitely get to take home the cheese. I know
that. I hope so. Humans aren't necessarily logical creatures. Maybe it is
thrill seeking.
It's the thrill of the cheese and the bragging rights.
The first person across the line wins and gets to keep the cheese.
And that's it.
And I think that's it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Alba Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.